Have you ever woken up and thought, there's just too much Christmas in my life. I need to get rid of some of this Christmas. It's just everywhere. My whole head is clogged up with Christmas. Of course you've never thought that, because you need more Christmas. And that's why I'm here, to give you more Christmas. Christmas is here all year. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, a trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode Something We'll Never Know of the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. I'm sitting here talking to you. That's how podcasts work. So let's start with the interactive bit. Here it comes. How you doing? No, it's because I'm recording earlier than normal. That's why you can hear the traffic outside. You know, my wife's gone to the cinema, so I'm recording earlier than normal. Barbie. Then she's gone with her mate. Yeah. And scene. There we go. So, have you been? I've just asked you that. Why would I ask that twice? Oh, I've embarrassed myself so early in the episode. It's all over. No, it's not. It's just beginning. So, one thing I want to talk about. This is very important. I don't know if you remember last episode. Of course you do. It's all you've been thinking about for the last 2 weeks. Do you remember? I went to Tesco's and they had the mulled wine was reduced to clear. So it's down to like, I think it was £2.18 a bottle. £2.18. I went in there again. There was even more mulled wine. They had like a whole shelf stacked with mulled wine reduced to clear. I grabbed another two bottles. Maybe I should have got more because I went in there yesterday and it is no longer reduced to clear. It's back to its normal price of £3.30. And here's my question. Whom is buying mulled wine for £3.30? I mean, £3.30 is pretty cheap for a bottle of wine. It's only 5% though. Whom is buying mulled wine at £3.30 a bottle in the middle of July? Well, no one, because we're in August now. But that's my question. Whom is buying that mouldy old wine at £3.30 a bottle? It's not. I think they must have just got rid of so much for £2.18. Someone must have gone in and cleared them out. It wasn't me. I was just buying it two bottles at a time. And now they've just got, like, it's back to the normal amount where you've got, like, a little corner where the mulled wine is there. So I'm guessing maybe they just realised they had too much stock out the back from Christmas, had to get rid of that, but now they're back to normal. So maybe it's something they stock all year. I need to pay closer attention. I know I do. Have you had enough about that? Or do you want me to carry on? Because I've got hours. No, we're moving on, are we? Other news, oh, do you know what, there's probably stuff. I've probably had emails from people and I've forgotten what they are. And that's really bad. That's rude of me. We've discussed this before, how rude I am. Especially at Christmas. I shouldn't be rude at Christmas. So, should we just start the show then? You want to start the show? I want to start the show. You want to start the show? Let's start the show. Let's start the show. Here it goes.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, boys and girls. It is our Christmas Not So Classic. And this one is by a big band. One of the biggest bands of all time, actually. Would you believe this act has sold 75 million albums? 75 million albums. That is 75 million albums more than me. So, yeah, this is the band.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around.
Yeah, now, here's the deal. Back in their heyday, in the 60s, they never had a Christmas album. They never had a Christmas single. What they did have was a Christmas episode of their show where they sung some Christmas songs, but they never released any, I don't believe. Citation needed. But what they did do, 50 years later, can you believe that? 50 years after the TV show, they released a Christmas album called Monkeys Christmas Party. Or it might just be called Christmas Party by the Monkeys, I don't know. And here's the deal. It was like a mix-mash of covers and original songs with the three surviving monkeys. And they had some old recordings of Davy Jones that they put in there. And it had songs written on it by people like Rivers Kuaku. I hope I said that right. Probably didn't. He was with the band Weezer. And also Peter Buck from REM. Yeah, they wrote songs for the album. And the Monkees recorded it and released it. And from this album, they released a single. And it was called Unwrap You at Christmas. And that's the song we're going to discuss today. So the song was written by Andy Partridge, and he was in a band called XTC. I don't know if you've heard of XTC. XTC was a British band, and this was their biggest hit. You know that one? Yeah, you might not. Wasn't a big hit globally, did well in the UK. Anyway, XTC was a band, Andy Partridge was in a band. I read an interview with him and he said that he'd written actually 7 songs for the album. This is the one they chose. He'd actually written this before they asked him to write the songs. And he was aiming for a Phil Spector Christmas sort of thing. That's what his goal was. And if you listen to the song, I'd say pretty much he pulled it off. Now, the video is really nice, actually. What it is it's a comic strip of images taken from the TV show, but then they've been illustrated by Michael Allred. And he's a fairly famous comic artist. He wrote the comic Mad Man. If you're a comic fan from the 90s, you might remember Mad Man. It still was going in the 2000s. And the comic iZombie. He wrote those, or drew those, sorry. Maybe he wrote them. I don't know. Anyway, that's the video, and it sort of pans across from picture to picture on the strip, and speech bubbles come out of their mouths, and it's sort of the words to the song, which is handy actually. If you want to sing along to the song, you can. And it is a catchy and upbeat song, you know, you would want to sing along to it. I think it's one of those that could have been a big hit and people would have had it on their regular playlist. It's not one that I necessarily would have, but it's not one that I particularly dislike either. It's quite a nice song. Yeah, but here's the thing. This is the thing I want to talk about. So the Monkees, they were together in the 60s. Then they broke up because they were a band that was put together. So they didn't grow into becoming a band together. And I think that's never a good thing. You know, a lot of these manufactured pop bands, they only last while they're like riding high. And then when they get to a certain peak, they think, well, I can go off on my own. And that's sort of what happened with the Monkees. They had massive success with their TV series. And then they, actually, I think it was just as their popularity was declining, they just went their separate ways and they did solo projects. And they did get back together again. And here's an interesting thing. I saw the Monkees live in 1996. It was their 30th year anniversary reunion tour. And they came to the UK and all 4 members were there. Yeah, it was fantastic, actually. Because it was funny because I was sort of going through a phase where I got into the Monkees. And then suddenly this tour happened while I was interested in them. And I went to see them and I really enjoyed it. They played all their hits. Another interesting thing, though, was that they played all their hits and then each artist sort of like did 2 or 3 of their own songs with the other members of the band, left the stage, and then they all came back on again and did a few more hits. Yeah, so again, that sort of shows how they were sort of interested in doing their separate things. They did do another tour after that, but I think it was after Davy Jones had died, or it might have been just before they did one more, and then they've toured again since with as a 3-piece. And then after Peter Tork died, it was Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz still carried on together, touring for a bit, and now sadly Mike Nesmith passed and we've only got Mickey Dolenz left. Anyway, going back to what I was saying, the Monkees, when they were at their peak, when like, after the first series I believe it was, they were getting a lot of backlash as artists because everyone knew that they didn't play their own instruments. Now they could play their own instruments, and so they said, look, you know, if we're quitting if you don't give us complete control of the music. So that's what happened. The Monkees started recording their own music and performing themselves. And what I find very interesting about that is this album, A Christmas Party, is pretty much the Monkees doing karaoke. It is, because from what I could read in all the notes, the Monkees only provide the vocals. And in the song I'm talking about, Unwrap You at Christmas, it's just Mickey Dolenz. He sings the song. He doesn't do any of the music. That's, or at least what I was reading from the notes, it doesn't do any of the music. The backing vocals aren't even supplied by the other Monkees, Survivor Monkees. Can you believe that? So it's literally a completely different band. How can you call that the Monkees? And then looking at it, most of the other songs is a similar situation. You've got one member of the Monkees singing a song and the backing band is none of the Monkees and none of the other Monkees are involved. Anything you want to say about that? No? Fine. Don't say anything about it. I thought it was a bit cheeky, to be honest, especially bearing in mind that 50 years previous to that, they wanted creative control of all the music. They wanted to be able to perform it and also write a lot of it as well themselves. And then by this point, they're like, nah, we're just in it for the money. We'll sing, but you can do the rest of it. Unimpressed by that. Having said that, it's a nice song. Have another listen to a bit more. You know, it's a nice enough song. You know, I like it. The single itself didn't chart. As far as I could see, it didn't chart anywhere. And the album made, I think, in the US, like the top 60. It got to number 3 in the holiday chart, which is a chart that I'm not familiar with. Is that like, how often, how long do you reckon that runs from? Like, do you reckon it's, what, just November? They have a holiday chart? Maybe a bit of early January? It's like, no, we're not doing that chart anymore. And who cares as well? Anyway, about 60 in the Billboard chart, and from what I can see, didn't chart anywhere else around the world. Anyway, that's this episode's song that you probably weren't aware of, and now you are. Unwrap You at Christmas by one of the Monkees.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
So, I borrowed a motto from Disney for the Tiki Bar. Hakuna Matata. It means no memories for the rest of your night. Today's segment is going to sound like a commercial for my own podcast, Festive Foreign Film Fans, but it's really not. It just involves my co-host Mark, who had a real-life Do You Hear What I Hear moment. Mark's niece married a man named Harry from England, and no, not that Harry. He owns a few businesses, including a wine and cheese shop. Harry was telling Mark about his work, and he said that his Christmas hamper business had been very successful. Mark was confused. Was he manufacturing hampers for the holidays? Was there really much profit in specialized laundry baskets as gifts? For you see, in America, a hamper is where we throw our dirty clothes. It is a large basket used for laundry. But for the Brits, it refers to a wicker basket that you fill with items, most often food. A hamper in the UK is what we in the US would call a gift basket. A traditional British Christmas hamper is usually packed with seasonal favorites, such as fruitcake or plum pudding, mince pies, chocolate, nuts, jams, biscuits, and smoked meats and cheese. There may also be some alcoholic beverages, like gin, wine, or beer. What is striking to me is that the tradition of giving hampers was brought to England from France by William the Conqueror in the 11th century. Think about it. That's the Middle Ages. In America at that time, Leif Erikson was just here stomping around the landscape, and I don't know what he used for his dirty laundry. The tradition of the Christmas hamper was originally intended as a special holiday meal for poor people in need of food and drink. Then during the Victorian age, hampers gained popularity as a gift for Christmas. They were used by wealthy families who could afford to fill the baskets and who would also give smaller hampers to their staff. With the development of the railroad, there was an increase in the gifting of hampers because now they could be delivered around the country with less risk of the contents going stale. Also, during World War I, metal hampers were sent at Christmas by families to their sons on the front line or to injured soldiers in the hospital. The word hamper is taken from the French word hanapier, which described a case for holding a large goblet or cup. So the British really had the right idea. We are not sure exactly why it translated in North America to a household laundry basket, but it may be because it was common for laundry services in the States to leave a large basket with a lid for the dirty clothes, and the same container was used to return the clean clothes, and these became known as clothes hampers. So Jack, if you receive a basket of my dirty clothes this Christmas, just know it's my American-made Christmas hamper. Cheers, and happy Christmas.
Once again, Bob has knocked it out of the park with that one, and me. What an interesting. I know, I should have known this, that you call it a gift basket, because you see them all the time on like sitcoms and stuff like that. But yeah, we call it a hamper. Really, you only see them at Christmas, the old hampers. Otherwise, you probably would call it, would you call it a hamper? Let's see. Maybe you would call it a gift basket the rest of the year, actually. But at Christmas, yeah, it's a Christmas hamper. The only other time I'd say we use that term is like a picnic hamper. So you might take all your stuff in like a nice wicker basket if you go and have a nice picnic. Yeah, but that was incredible because I didn't know that. I have touched briefly on Christmas hampers before in, I think it was part of the quiz, I asked a question about different Christmas hampers that they sold at Harrods, which is a shop I'm sure you've heard of in London. Occasionally, my wife would get one from work, a hamper, and it's always like really expensive stuff that you wouldn't buy yourself, like really high-end Christmas pudding, normally a mini one, or weird stuff. I remember my dad years ago getting one with like pickled ginger in it, and that pickled ginger lived in our cupboard until it turned 18, and then it left at home and went out on its own. Yeah, he never wrote. We never speak to that jar of pickled ginger anymore. But there was other stuff in there, like weird stuff that you'd never normally have. Yeah, anyway, there, Christmas hampers. Great work, Bob. He'll be back later on. Right now, I'm doing this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. So boys and girls, it is the quiz. However, this is a little bit different. Remember last time was a bit different? This time's a little bit different as well, because this time all the questions are about Santa Claus or St. Nicholas or Father Christmas. And I have a special guest who was on previous episodes, Matt Spaulding. He's going to come in with the answers. But right now it's me asking you the questions. So get your pen and paper ready, get your thinking cap on, and prepare yourselves, because the questions are going to come thick and fast. And when I say thick and fast, I'm thick. The questions are actually quite slow. Here they come. Question number one. The real St. Nicholas was a bishop of Myra. Was he Greek, Turkish, or Roman/Italian? Okay, you tell me. Which was he? Greek, Turkish, or Roman/Italian? Question number two. In 1902, who wrote The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus? Whom? Very famous author. Question number three. Which two US states have a town named Santa Claus? There's two US states. Which are they? Question whatever. In the UK, Father Christmas's suit is red, black, or green? What colour suit does Father Christmas wear? Tell me now. Or what colour robe or suit or whatever? Just answer the question. Question number something else. What soft drink company was the first to use Santa in its marketing? The first. T tell me the answer to that question. Question whatever. What date is St. Nicholas's Day? Okay, what date is... He's a saint. What date is St. Nicholas's Day? Tell me that now. Question number whatever. What does Donder and Blitzen mean? Now, people these days say Donner and Blitzen, but it was originally Donder and Blitzen. What does that mean? What does it mean to you? Question something. Which country sends the most letters to Santa? What country does? Which country? We're near the end now. What question number nine this is. Who voiced the incumbent Santa in Arthur Christmas? Now, if you've watched the film, you'll know there are many generations of Santa Claus in that film, but there's only one who is actually the incumbent Santa. Whom voiced did that character? And the final question, which makes it question number 10. Who played Santa in the British movie Get Santa? Okay. Those are your 10 questions. Now, I'm going to give you the answers with the help of Matt Spaulding. Here they come. So, boys and girls, now, to answer the questions about Santa, I have a real-life Santa. We've got Matt Spaulding from North Pole Radio. You going to say hello, Matt?
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so, question... Now, I have warned him these questions might be a bit trickier than he thinks they are. Question number one, the real St. Nicholas was a Bishop of Myra. What nationality was he? Was he Greek, Turkish, or Roman / Italian?
Well, that's a good question. Myra was in a place called Lycia, which is now known as Turkey.
It is now known as Turkey.
Yep.
But back then...
here's the thing. We don't actually know a lot about the historical St. Nicholas. There's not a ton of actual historical documentation that he even existed at all. So he was born in Lycia, in Myra, but there's a possibility he was Greek.
Well, that's the answer I've got, because at the time, although everyone always says Myra is part of Turkey, it is part of Turkey now, but back then it was actually part of the Greek Empire. And this is me going with Wikipedia. So I'm going to give you the point because, yeah, I see. I'm going to let you have that one. But yes, yeah, it is part of Turkey
now.
But
I would say Greek. I think Greek and Turkish, based on what we know, which is, again, is not a lot. You could be forgiven for saying Turkish because there's not really a good way of knowing.
Okay, we'll go with that then. Question number two. I know you got this one. In 1902, who wrote the book The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus?
That is L. Frank Baum, who also wrote The Wizard of Oz and all those books. What a weird book. Like, I love it. It's a good book. Boy, is it weird.
Yeah, do you know what? I haven't actually read it.
Check it out. It's good. It's weird.
I have heard it read, but I really lost interest in it on an audiobook. So, yeah. It was very weird. So question number three, which two US states have a town named Santa Claus?
I have drawn a complete blank on one of them. I know there is a Santa Claus, Indiana, and the life of me, I cannot remember the other state.
The other one was Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in the UK, we call Santa Claus Father Christmas. What color is his suit? Red, black, or green?
Well, traditionally, you'd have an English Father Christmas in green with perhaps brown fur, although these days, America's idea of Santa Claus has spread pretty much throughout the entire world, and the red and white has become pretty universal, so you're going to, in the UK, see a lot of red and white Santas as well. So
it's,
traditionally...
You know, it's not a lot. It's all red and white. Okay. I've never seen... I remember talking... You interviewed a guy on your podcast where he was talking about he's got his... a green robe, and he was referring to it as like the British Father Christmas version, but it was, you're right, maybe 100 years ago, but
very traditionally very Victorian.
That's it. But now, no, it's always red.
Yeah,
I've never seen Santa in any other color suit. Okay, so what soft drink company was the first to use Santa in its marketing?
Well, I'm probably wrong. I said Coke, but only because Coke is also one of the very first soft drinks in the entire world, and I can't immediately bring to mind any other Some of the other really early ones were like Dr. Pepper and Moxie. I'm pretty sure Coke is the right answer, though.
Sorry to say, it's not, actually. It's a company called White Rock Beverages. I think that's a bit of a trick question, because when I found that one, I think everyone would say Coca-Cola, but no, apparently White Rock Beverages.
Oh, now that you say that, son of a gun, I remember that now. Yeah, you're right, though. You're right. No, I do remember that now, though. Son of a gun.
There we go. I said they were tricky. This is an easier one. What date is St. Nicholas's Day?
Well, that's December 6th.
There we go. Easy one. Another one that I think you'll know. Donner and Blitzen originally were called Donder and Blixum. And what does that mean?
Thunder and lightning.
That's right. Do you know the language?
German.
It is. Well done. Fantastic. Number 8, which country sends the most letters to Santa Claus?
I don't know.
Actually, it's not Santa, actually. It's because they don't call him Santa.
Oh, well, then my answer is entirely wrong. I guessed. I took just a guess, and I said the United States.
Well, I would have thought it was the US, but apparently it's France.
Oh, Père Noël.
I think it's a real tradition, the letter-writing part, more so than in other countries. Although everyone writes their letters.
Yeah, that was the
real custom.
Yeah, I wasn't 100% sure about Coke. That one was kind of a 50-50 for me. This one was literally just a swing. Like, I had no idea.
Okay, you're doing really well, though. Question number 9. Who voiced the incumbent Santa in Arthur Christmas?
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Do you know what? I thought you'd written it straight down. I thought you knew, because I thought straight away you knew what it was. I don't know what you put on your pad.
I put a big old question mark when I wrote it down, because I knew I didn't know.
Okay, so you've got James McAvoy plays Arthur Christmas. Oh. His brother was played by Hugh Laurie. And his dad, who was actually Santa, was played by Jim Broadbent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Question number 10. Yeah. Who played Santa in the British movie Get Santa?
Well, it's very funny. You actually just mentioned him, Jim Broadbent.
Well done. There we go. Very good. Do you know what? That's funny. I thought you knew the previous one. I thought you'd got the next one, but no, there we go. Right, let's add those up. How many did you get then? I'm going to give you the first one because you did know that that Santa, it did used to be part of Greece, old Myra. You got 6.5, which... Mm-hmm. To be honest, I'm not quite sure what I would have scored, actually. I should know, but I don't always pay attention when I'm writing down the questions.
Like I said, a couple of those were not sures. Well, one of them was a not 100% sure. It was a 50-50, so I guessed and I was wrong. One of them, I had no idea at all, but I guessed anyway, and I was wrong. And one of them, I had no idea and didn't even have a guess, so...
Well, there we go. Still very good, very knowledgeable. There's no doubt about that. Thank you so much for coming on again.
Of course.
I really appreciate it. Did you want to plug your podcast for everyone? Let them know about it. I know I've been plugging it every episode you've been on, but let's have another go.
Yeah, everybody can check out North Pole Radio wherever you listen to podcasts. It's just me most of the time hanging out, talking to other Christmas performers, you know, Santa's and Mrs. Claus's. And sometimes, once in a while, just other friends talking about Christmas movies or Christmas music. Or I've had a St. Patrick's Day special, and I'd like
yes,
to do...
Yes, I listened to that. That was Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Darby O'Gill and the Little People. And I've had an Easter special. Maybe this year I'll get around to having a Halloween special. We'll see.
Well, thanks again for coming on, Matt. And I recommend everyone checks out his podcast. It really is just so interesting listening to people talking about being Santa Claus. Thanks again, Matt.
Thanks so much.
Hey, 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 here it comes, boys and girls. Are you ready to laugh? Are you ready to laugh? I hope not. I really hope not, because this ain't going to make you laugh. Right, here we go. What nationality is Santa Claus? North Polish. North Polish. He's not, actually. I think we established in the quiz he was actually Greek or possibly Turkish. So that joke is not only unfunny, it's untrue. You've been lied to, kids. Let's move on. Oh, wow. Bob is back, and he is spectacular.
Thanks, Jack. I am doing it again. I am offering up a Christmas everyday suggestion that I learned from a different podcast. Sorry, Jack. On the Christmas Morning podcast, they do a segment where they list all of the Christmas shows that you can find on TV for that week. You may not realize it, but with the number of old series in rotation, there tends to be a Christmas episode broadcast every day somewhere in the world. They get their TV listings from a website called mostlychristmas.com. So now, when I feel like getting a little festive cheer in a half-hour package and lifting my holiday blues with some situation comedy, I go online to find an old Christmas chestnut that I haven't watched in years. Nostalgia can be such a warm, cozy blanket, even in the dog days of summer. If you have a special way that you like to view Christmas all year, you can perform it for Jack. He can showcase it for me, and we'll stage it for you all next episode.
You know what? I don't have a problem with you mentioning Christmas Morning Podcast because that is hosted by my dear friend Scott Newman. So yeah, if you're not listening to Christmas Morning, I know I've mentioned it loads of times, but check it out. The only downside about that recommendation is it doesn't cover what's on TV in the UK. Yeah, so that doesn't really work for me, but it's a great idea. You know, if you're in the States especially, check out what shows are showing and you get to watch something new, do you know what I mean? And you're actually watching it as it comes out, so you've got every excuse to watch it. Someone comes in and say, what are you watching this for? It's Christmas. Actually, it's on right now. And so you get away with it. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Good one. Another quick plug for Bob's podcast. If you're not up to date with it, get up to date with it. It's just released episode 5. And the last two episodes, I've really enjoyed them. One was about an animated film in Japan, which I think I talked about. And the other one, the most recent one, was a Polish film. And I've never seen it, but listening to their podcast, I felt like I had. And now I want to see it. So yeah, keep up the good work, Bob. And check out Festive Film Fans Podcast. Now, I'm going to do this, whether you like it or not.
This is what we call a Muppet Christmas Show!
God, this is a sporadic segment, isn't it? Do you know what? If I do this one, I have to drop my A Christmas Carol segment, and I don't like dropping A Christmas Carol segment because I like watching A Christmas Carol, but then I also like watching The Muppets. This one we're talking about today is an episode of the TV show The Furchester Hotel, which was kind of like a spin-off of Sesame Street.
Welcome to the Furchester.
So the show is mainly aimed at sort of preschoolers. It's shown on a station in the UK called CBeebies, which is a very young version of BBC. You've actually got CBBC, which is children's BBC, and then you've got CBeebies, which is even younger children. And my girls are just sort of growing out of it these days. Yeah, I say just sort of growing out of it. I think Robin has grown out of it. But they used to watch the Furchester Hotel, and I've always been a massive fan of the Muppets, so that was great. Now, the Furchester Hotel originally came out in September 2014. It ran for 2 seasons, but each season was, are you ready, 52 episodes long. Yeah, 52 episodes. So there was 104 episodes. Well, I say 104, it's actually 103. One was a double episode. So there was 103 episodes of the Furchester Hotel. Yeah, for you to go and watch. Now, each episode's about 10 minutes long, and like I said, in the UK it was shown on CBeebies. Over in the States, it was shown on a channel called Sprout, which apparently is now called Universal Kids. I don't know if they're still showing it, but they are still showing it in the UK, because I know it was on today, actually, this morning, at about 8:45. Yeah, really early, but it was there. So it is about a hotel, a little bit like a cross between Sesame Street and Fawlty Towers, really, I suppose. And the hotel is run by Funella Furchester and her husband, Fungus Fuzz. And their daughter is called Phoebe Fungus Fuzz. Yeah, so she's got a double-barreled surname. And their cousin is Elmo. Yeah, from Sesame Street. He's their cousin. And also, someone who works in the hotel, is like the waiter and does housekeeping and that, is Cookie Monster. Yeah, Cookie Monster. Because, well, because Cookie Monster, I suppose. And is an interesting aside, nothing to do with Christmas, there was an episode of the show where Cookie Monster's British cousin was in it, and see if you can guess what his name was. Biscuit Monster! Hey, because we say biscuits. There's one for Bob Baker, for Do You Hear What I Hear? Yeah, Biscuit Monster, which I thought was really cool. I watched that episode. I haven't seen many episodes of The Furniture Star. I do enjoy it when it's on or when the girls were watching it. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Anyway, so there's a few other recurring characters in it, which I'm not going to bother going into. But like I say, it's set in a hotel, and each episode is about the guests and that. Now, there's quite a few guest stars come in over from Sesame Street. And in this one, we're treated to Big Bird and Count Von Count. Now, the episode is called A Furchester Christmas, and it's set on Christmas Eve. Now, here's the deal. It's Christmas Eve. Everyone is really excited. They're decorating the whole hotel. And one of their residents in the hotel, his name's Harvey P. Dull. And normally, he's like a real grumpy character. But even he's happy because he loves Christmas. And this is what he says.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Dull. We're just decorating the luggage trolley.
Well, that's okay, Fergus, my friend. Nothing bothers me. It's Christmas.
That's one very happy fellow.
Yep. Thank you.
And then Phoebe is getting particularly excited because it's Christmas Eve. There's certain things they do. They've got their traditions. The first one is they all sing Christmas carols together, all the guests in the hotel. The second one is they dress the Christmas tree. And the third one is they eat Christmas cookies. So yeah, those are lovely ideas. So they start the traditions, and there's a big announcement to all the guests, and all the guests come down and they start singing their Christmas carols and having a wonderful time. And they sing the first one, and then they sing the second one, and it's about Santa Claus. And then Big Bird, and at this point I want to say, you can tell that ain't Carol Spinney, the original voice of Big Bird. This is not awful, but it ain't the original. You can definitely notice that. And the same with Count Von Count as well. It's not, you know, the voices aren't quite there. The first time I watched it, I didn't really notice it, and then the second time I was paying more attention, it's like, oh yeah. Anyway, Big Bird realizes that he hasn't told Santa Claus that he's not going to be at home, and he's like, we might not get any presents. And then Elmo realizes it as well, and he's like, oh my life, I might not get any presents either. And they start getting really upset.
Oh no.
Oh, what's wrong, Big Bird?
Oh, I just remembered I forgot to tell Santa I was going to be here at the Furchester for Christmas.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, no.
What's wrong, Elmo?
Elmo forgot too!
Oh, well, how is Santa gonna know we're here?
So everyone gets really upset. So then, Funella, she comes up with the idea. She's like, well, we could write a letter to Santa Claus. And this postbird flies in, and he's sort of like a pelican, maybe, I'm not sure. And they're like, oh, could we send a letter to Santa Claus? And he's like, sure. Actually, I'll just play it.
Well, it's 3 days as the crow flies.
3 days?
But I'm not a crow. So it's gonna be like 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Oh, but Christmas is tomorrow.
I know. This is my busiest time of year, lady. Now, if you don't mind, I gotta go. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
So then Funella is like, right, well, I'll phone up the North Pole. And she phones the North Pole, and there's this answering machine message.
Ho, ho, ho. Santa can't come to the phone right now,
because
it's Christmas Eve.
Ooh. Yeah. So they're all like really upset. It's like, right, just don't talk about Santa Claus. Quick, let's get on to dressing the Christmas tree. So they start dressing the Christmas tree, and then sort of like they're sort of just half done maybe. And then Fungus is like, oh, I need to get a ladder to put this on top of the tree. And Big Bird's like, oh, I'll help you. What is it? And oh, don't you know it? It's Santa Claus. At this point, I should actually say, they never once call him Father Christmas. Even though this is a British-based show, it's Santa Claus every time. And Big Bird sees it, and she's like, oh, Santa Claus, oh, and they all start crying. And somebody else is like, what's going on? Like, Santa Claus isn't going to see us. And there's this wolf going, but I wanted some earmuffs. And there's a cow going, but I wanted my pink curlers. And there's some chickens, and they just go, no idea what they're saying. I don't speak chicken. I do speak wolf and cow, though, clearly. Anyway, so they're all real upset, and it's like, right, okay, let's forget that, come on, let's move on, let's go and eat cookies. So everyone's standing around eating cookies, and they're like, oh yeah, everything's great, fine, we're not thinking about anything like that, don't even mention it. And then Cookie Monster comes in, and he's got some cookies, and he's like, oh, these are for Santa. And everyone's like, Santa Claus, oh, you mentioned it. Oh, everyone starts crying. And Count Von Count starts crying. And they're all crying. And it's all very, very sad. It's not, but you get the point. And Phoebe's like, oh, Christmas is ruined. I'm going to bed. Which reminded me of one of my girls who frequently storms off in a strop if things aren't going their way. Anyway, Phoebe's off in her room. And Elmo and Big Bird are all miserable. And Harvey P. Dull, do you remember the one I mentioned earlier? He's like one of the regulars. Harvey P. Dull, he comes out, he's like, what's the problem? And they're like, oh, Santa's not coming. And he says, maybe Christmas, perhaps, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. He doesn't actually say that, but the sentiments are there. He says this.
Well, you know, there's more to Christmas than just getting presents. Christmas is also about spending time with your family and friends.
And the point is, obviously, that, you know, just getting presents isn't really what Christmas is all about. I tell you what, I, for one, can totally agree with that. Because when I was a kid, yeah, I'd think about Christmas all year round. And I'd be thinking about what toys I wanted. Now I'm a grown-up. I still, obviously, as you know, think about Christmas all year round. But I just think about, like, the other exciting parts of it. And spending time with family and friends. And the joy of Christmas. Anyway, that's what Harvey P. Dell says, which is interesting, coming from someone who's normally a curmudgeon or Grinch. So then they put their heads together, which is like a trope from the show, where a bunch of them all put their heads together to think of an idea. And they go up to Phoebe's room, and they all start singing outside her room, and Phoebe comes out, and everyone's singing Christmas carols together, and it's wonderful, and they're even singing the song about Santa Claus, and no one's crying, and everyone's happy. And then they go downstairs, and they dress the tree, and Big Bird puts Father Christmas, Santa Claus, up on top of the Christmas tree. And then they don't actually eat any cookies, which I thought was interesting, but they do put cookies out for Santa Claus. Fungus says, oh, it's time for bed, everyone. So everyone goes to bed. Little thing, little bit. After everyone else has sort of disappeared, Cookie Monster is like looking at the cookies. He's put them out himself. Then he's looking at the cookies and about to take one. And this is my favourite character from the show. His name, I think, is Gonger or something. And normally he bangs the gong for when it's meal times or tea time or whatever. And he shouts at Cookie Monster. Have a listen. Here you go.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
No! Not that dumb cookie!
Sorry.
Yeah, that's pretty much his job, is just shouting throughout the show. Yeah, and so they're all asleep. And don't you know it, that night, Santa Claus comes along. He's only in it for a very short bit, but you just sort of see him come in, eat a cookie, and say ho ho ho. And then it cuts to the morning, and Elmo gets his yo-yo, Phoebe gets her roller skates, and Big Bird gets his roller skates as well, which is actually mildly funny, because there's this huge pair of roller shapes that are in the shape of one of Big Bird's massive feet. Yeah, and then they all sing their Christmas Furchester song, which I'll give you a burst of now.
It's a Furchester Christmas, what a special time of year. We're feeling warm and fuzzy with monster love and cheer. It's a Furchester Christmas, let's be merry all day through. And to all our guests and family, a furry Christmas, furry Christmas, furry Christmas.
There you go. Now, I will say this. This is for your younger kids. That's a fact, and that's fine. I really enjoyed it still, because I love the Muppets. But I think if you've got young kids, or young kids coming around, chuck it on from YouTube, because they'll enjoy it. And you might enjoy it too. It's not super kiddish. Do you know what I mean? It's not like really, really young. I think anyone could enjoy it. So, yeah, if you're a fan of the Muppets, and you want something a little bit different for Christmas, why not sit the kids down in front of that, and you can sit back and enjoy it as well. That was the Furchester Christmas. Now it's time for this. This episode's recommendation actually is a spin-off from last episode's recommendation. Do you remember I was talking about the Advent Calendar House podcast? Well, I was just listening to... I'm still catching up. I won't lie to you. I haven't heard all of them yet, but I nearly have. But a few days ago, I was listening to the one about Elmo Saves Christmas. Great episode, by the way. And one of his guests on there was a chap called Anthony Strand. And He is one of the hosts of a podcast called Moving Right Along, a Muppet Movie Podcast. And to read the blurb on iTunes, it says, a weekly podcast from Muppets fan website toughpigs.com. Muppet geeks Anthony Strand and Ryan Rowe watch Muppet movies 2 minutes at a time and talk about them a lot. So it's a bit like a Star Wars Minute. That sort of set off a lot of similar ones. I previously recommended Santa by the Minute, which was about Santa Claus the movie. And this one, like I say, Moving Right Along, a Muppet Movie Podcast, does Muppet movies, but it's 2 minutes at a time, so you get through them twice as quick. But in episode 401, I won't lie to you, I haven't listened to the back ones. I probably will, actually, because I do like the Muppet movies. But episode 401 starts off the first 2 minutes of A Muppet Christmas Carol, and it's just finished back in May. That was episode 444. So you've got 44 episodes to listen all about everything to do with A Muppet Christmas Carol. And I love, as you know, the Muppets and Christmas and A Christmas Carol, three of my favourite things. So yeah, I've been loving it. I only started listening 2 days ago, and I've listened to 8 episodes already, and it's just great. I'm going to be gutted when it ends. I can listen to it over and over, I'm sure. Anyway, so that's this episode's recommendation. If you want to check it out, it's called Moving Right Along, a Muppet Movie Podcast. And also, I'll mention toughpigs.com. Well, like I say, that's their website. I get a lot of the information I get for my Muppets Christmas segments from toughpigs.com. They got a load of great stuff on there. So if you're a real big Muppets fan, check out toughpigs.com as well. Anyway, that's this episode's recommendation. Give it a shot. And that is it for this episode. I want to say another thank you, as I always do, to my mate Bob Baker and also Matt Spaulding from North Pole Radio for having a go at the Santa quiz. That's it from me, like I said. I don't think I've got anything else to say, so if you want to get in touch, email me at totalchristmas@gmail.com. If you want to go on the website, it's totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'm also on Facebook. I occasionally put stuff on there, but frequently I completely forget to do it and I've forgotten for weeks. I do put the new episodes on there and then I forget. Normally I put links on, but if you want any of the links that are stuff I've talked about, just check out the show notes. They're there, baby. The links are in the show notes. Anyway, I'm going to be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. Merry Happy Christmas!
This really is a dirty city.
Huh, you telling me?
Come here.
Huh? Ah. Thank you for making me a part of this. Oh.